Okay.
It is 6:00. I'm calling the meeting to order, JPA 1, July 16th, 2014. Public comment.
The only thing I have is that we're having a free pharmaceutical drug collection event this Saturday from 8 to noon at Ampla Health in Los Molinos. And we've never had a pharmaceutical drug collection event there. So we're trying to tackle that portion of Tehama County and get.
They're pretty, fairly new. They've been around, what, about 6 months or less?
Oh, Ampla Health, yeah. And their coordination, they're allowing us to use their parking space, and they're going to have a booth there as well. And the sheriff's department, of course, is collecting the pharmaceuticals. I'll be there, actually, just to make sure everything's running smoothly. And then the health services agency will also be there doing outreach as part of their drug prevention program.
Good. Hopefully I'll remember this time, because I have a few to get rid of.
And it's in your side of the town, or your side of the county.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything. Okay, let's move to regular items. A, minutes.
I'll second it.
All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Item B, warrant register, number one, non-grant funded warrants, June 2014. Recommend in the amount of $6,173.18. Particulars are on page 7. It's a non-grant funded.
So really, there, most of the expenses you see here, except for the Lawrence and Associates expense, is actually, when you see RMDZ, that's the Tehama County Recycling Market Development Zone. And we receive, depending on the year, anywhere between $5,000 and $7,000 per year to provide outreach for the program. And it's on a reimbursement basis, so we spend the money and then the state reimburses us. So you'll see those expenses, and it's not a grant per se, so we don't have a grant expense account for that. So you'll see the expense, and then you'll see the reimbursement.
Second that.
Good. Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, number two, grant funded warrants, June 2014. Approval of $8,663.46. Indirect expenses, $2,261.90. In expenses reimbursed to JPA 2 for a total of $10,895.36.
And most of these expenses are in regards to our 20th cycle household hazardous waste grant that allows us to do a number of different things, but it allows us to survey teachers about what the level of hazardous waste knowledge there is amongst teachers and whether they're educating their students about what is hazardous waste. And I see it as a tool of both ways. Even if they don't know anything, they learn something by taking the survey. we'll be working on that survey, as well as it funds all of the exhibits for the For Our Kids bus. And so we're working on getting those all finalized, and I look forward to having it out here for the board members to see when it's all completely finished. And that's working on. And then you see some expenses for $1,932 for Evergreen Middle School. That's for the one-day hazardous waste event that was held at Evergreen Middle School. That was for disposal costs.
Is that the one that you weren't real happy with the attendance?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was that your first one there?
That was our first hazardous waste event. And to be honest, our first tire event there was really slow. And then ever since, our tire events have been really successful there. So I don't know if it just takes a while for the community to respond. There was a suggestion to hold it in Lake California, and we really tried to work it out because there's such a dense population center there. But they would not allow us or they would not allow people that do not live in Lake California to utilize the event. And since we're using public funds, it needs to be open to everybody in the county. So unfortunately, it probably limited participation because it was a bit of a drive for those residents.
The 14 quart recycling containers, is that that you pass out at events and things? Is that what that was? I can't quite.
Those are actually small recycling containers. So that's using some city county payment program funds. Unfortunately, what these warrants don't show you is which grant the funds are attributed to. And so what that is using is city county payment program funds. And so the agency gets just over $10,000 for the county and $5,000 for each city. Those funds are going away unless there's a beverage container reform, because those funds are funded by when you buy soda, you pay a deposit. If you don't take that soda back in, the empty bottle back in for redemption, the state gets to keep that deposit. And so when more people recycle, there's less money left over. And that's how we get our city-county payment funds. And so as the state CRV rate has gotten more and more successful, in the beginning it was, you know, maybe 40%. Now it's upwards of 80%. And then plus they have fraud because, you know, Nevada doesn't have a CRV program. And so they're bringing Nevada plastic bottles from Nevada that aren't paying into the program. They're bringing into California, and they're getting their deposit back. And so it's causing fraud in the program, and they're working on that. But as a result, the program's literally bankrupt. So it's those funds that we receive, unless there's reform, are going to go away. But for the time being, we can use them to buy recycling containers to support can and bottle recycling. It can also include other types of recyclables, as long as it includes can and bottle recycling. So we buy, if a business agrees to start up recycling, we'll provide them desk side recycling bins to help encourage them to recycle in their office. So that's what those bins are for. Long story.
So the program is killed by its own success.
Yeah.
In terms of encouraging it.
Mm-hmm. And what this means to, not so much this agency any longer, but JPA2, is that I do attribute about $5,000 in personnel time for my recycling coordinator to do outreach from these grants. And so, of course, JPA2 is going to be short about $5,000 in personnel funds each year. And we won't be able to buy recycling receptacles unless the board wants to authorize that and raise the tipping fee even further, which I have the sense that probably isn't going to happen.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 4. Cal Recycle Farm and Ranch Solid Waste and Abatement Grant Resolution. Request adoption of 5-year resolution authorizing Sanitary Landfill Agency to submit applications for farm and ranch solid waste cleanup and abatement grants.
So I was approached by Tehama County Environmental Health about this property. The property owners moved out of state. And since that time, the property has been illegally dumped on quite heavily. And the property's on Cantor Lane off of Basler, which is off of Hooker Creek Road. It's literally 25, maybe 30 minutes off I-5. It's out there.
Excuse me. Go ahead. Carry on.
That's fine. So I went out to the property to take a look, and I got a sense of that this is a bad illegal dump site. So then I talked with, I heard from Tehama County Environmental Health that Department of Fish and Wildlife had done some investigation about what was going on the property. Unfortunately, when I spoke with Department of Fish and Wildlife, they did not have enough evidence to prosecute anyone in particular. It was just basically a chase for them. One person was saying that it wasn't him, but it was somebody else. And that person was saying, no, it was somebody else. And then that person said he put a little bit, but then he cleaned it up, and it was really this person's. And there's no way to really tie anybody to the illegal dumping, but it's clear that it's been going on for quite some time. The one person that is supposed to be managing the waste, or gave himself authority to manage the property, somehow authorized people to place the waste temporarily. Those people claim that they didn't place the waste. So we're left with the waste caught fire. And so there's ash on the property. There's a creek, an intermittent creek that runs through the property. So the property really needs to get cleaned up is what I'm trying to get to. There's currently 1,075 tires on the property that include passenger truck, tractor, and a few earth mover tires. There's about somewhere between 800 and 1,000 cubic yards of household waste and construction and demolition material. Somebody dumped off an old trailer. It looks like somebody was living in it for a period of time. And we would also like to, in agreement with the Department of Fish and Wildlife, under the grant, to purchase and install 4 outdoor surveillance motion sensor cameras that the Department of Fish and Wildlife would monitor. And if they found any activity, they would then prosecute.
Did the property owners make any, I know they moved out, and I know they're reading in the material, not most well-off people, but did they make any kind of effort to try to block this, put up fencing or something?
Yeah, so there's fencing, and what's happened is the people that are doing the illegal dumping have broken the fence and the gate and are coming in on their own accord.
I was looking at it. I don't know how you all chose that particular piece, because it looks like there's a bunch of them around there. I mean, I don't know how you even found. How'd you?
The fire, I guess.
It could have been the fire, I guess.
Yeah. So, usually somebody contacts us. Yeah. Is how we.
So, is it in Tehama County?
It is in Tehama County. It's in Tehama County. And to answer your question, Jim. The property, the unfortunate part of this is the cost of cleanup exceeds the value of the property.
Oh.
So the property owner, the value of the property is somewhere at $15,000 maybe.
Well, the pictures look kind of like
and so,
scrub land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there is electricity and water on the site, but other than that, there's no residents or anything on the property. And that's why we felt, when I had agreed to apply for the grant, I felt that there was no way we were going to apply for this grant without the surveillance cameras and without the agreement with the Department of Fish and Wildlife to monitor it, because it's just going to happen again. And the gentleman that we know is authorizing people to dump there lives right around the corner, and so he can see us. There's no way we can go around it, but he sees us every time we go in and every time we go out, so he knows that we're there.
The benefit to us in doing this is what?
It definitely poses environmental health risk.
Well, I mean, that's what I was saying. There's other properties around there that look like they're not that much better off than that one is. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I was asking how you chose that one.
This particular property.
It could have been because of fire happening and somebody alerted to it. I don't know.
Yeah, so there's other properties around there that have a lot of waste on the property. But those were all placed by the owners themselves. Yeah. One of the grant guidelines for this grant is that the owners cannot be responsible for the waste, and they could not have authorized the placement of the waste on the property.
So what kind of contractors do you have? Do we have a list of on-call contractors to do this kind of work, or you have
what we end up doing is we get estimates for the project. And so what Rachel did is she got 3 estimates. And for the purposes of the grant, we always use the highest estimate, because by the time, we won't find out if this grant is funded until close to October, so a lot of things can change. So if we go with the low ball, we may not have enough money to fund it. So what she'll end up doing is asking for new estimates and then going with the lowest estimate at the end. So the cost will actually likely be much less than what is proposed here, but we need to cover our bases.
If there's any left over, do we get to keep that and go back?
No. And we only get to attribute 7% of administrative costs to the grant. And so I will not apply, because these grants take a lot of work for agency staff. The application process alone takes quite a few hours to compile, get everything together, fill out the application documents, fill out all the background documents. There's just a lot of information we have to gather, and that all together takes, you know, maybe 8 hours of staff time. So if it's a small cleanup, it's not even worth it to apply for the grant. And so at that point, we just have to, you know, unfortunately tell the property owner that.
And it's a competitive bid. There'll be other people looking for
There will be other people submitting. Historically, this grant has been undersubscribed, meaning that they have more funds available than grant applications. So our chances are very high of receiving the grant. And what I always do is I talk with the grant manager before we even start the application process, because it is such a time-consuming process, to make sure that they feel that the project complies with the guidelines of the grant.
You don't want to waste all your time doing it.
No.
Yeah, I'll move approval.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Moved and seconded is, that's chair tilts. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, now, Pima County Recycling Market Development Zone Survey Report, informational purposes only. No action.
I'll try to keep this short. One of the goals of this fiscal year, this past fiscal year now, was to implement the Tehama County Recycling Market Development Zone Marketing Plan. And as part of that plan, we wanted to conduct surveys from experienced zones that have been a Tehama County Recycling Market Development Zone for a long time that have been successful, to find out what works for them and what doesn't work for them, so we don't waste our time doing things that don't work or spending money on things that don't work. We also wanted to talk with businesses that are recycled market development zone businesses and find out, you know, how did they hear about the zone? How did they hear about the loan program? What was enticing to them and why they applied? And then we also wanted to talk with association representatives to find out, you know, what draws people to Tehama County, or what would draw people to Tehama County. And so we also talked with two loan financial institutions to find out what other programs are out there, specifically loan programs, because many times a new business or even an expanding business needs to tie together multiple different types of loans to make ends meet, to make a project go to fruition. And then we also surveyed a local recycler and a local manufacturer and an art association, which might sound interesting, but many recycling market development zone businesses actually start out as small art projects to create an art product out of waste. And so to give you one example, Fire and Light, which operates out of Humboldt County, takes recycled glass and makes it into these beautiful bowls and glassware and cupware, and it's all recycled glass, and it's the coloring is just impeccable, and the quality of the glass is much thicker than what you would find traditionally in a local store. It is also much more expensive, but that is an example of an artist that became a recycling market development zone businessman. And so we contracted with Maureen Hart to complete the surveys, primarily because with the Recycling Market Development Zone program, we can't charge agency personnel time for reimbursement. But if we hire a consultant to do the work, we can get reimbursement for that. So that's what we did. But that being said, Maureen is also a zone administrator like myself, but she's been a zone administrator since the program and was incepted, since it began. And so she has a lot of knowledge herself. She was really the perfect person to complete the surveys because she knew the types of questions to ask and who to call and who to contact to get that information. So I bulleted the key points from the 19-page report. And I'm not going to go through all of the bulleted points, just the ones that I think will be of most interest to the board here. They did find, when they surveyed other zone administrators, that it's important to create a culture of innovation, creative reuse, and a business community that is looking at their discards in a creative way. And they stated that the most expensive and time-consuming approach is to try to get a company to locate in Tehama County that's not in Tehama County currently. It's easier to find a business that's already manufacturing something in Tehama County or an interested individual and nurture them or help them convert from using a virgin product to a recycled material to make their product. They found that if you help a business with their business plan a lot of times, because within the loan program you have to have a business plan, that sometimes that gets people to that point where just the little extra help that they need to apply for a loan and create a business. And what this means to Tehama County is we get more waste diversion and we get more jobs and we get more economic activity. So I see it as a win-win. There was an interesting discussion of when you meet with a company, present all of the potential incentives, not just the potential incentives that are unique to your county. There was one instance where there was a business that was looking at two different counties, and so one zone presented incentives that were specific to that county, but also state incentives that were present to anybody, any business that's cited in the state. And the other county zone administrator only presented the incentives that were unique to that county. Well, that business thought that they had to cite in that county to get those incentives, but they were really state incentives, but they didn't recognize it, and so they cited there. And so it was really, what I learned from that was that you really need to present a whole picture of all of the incentives available, not just the zone program. Developed business parks, of course, are a great incentive to potential businesses. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of developed industrial parks ready, but we do have some manufacturing space that is empty and available. And then help the business with grants to pull together programs, and then listen to the business and see what their needs are. And then Maureen highlighted the top financing sources other than the RMDZ program, primarily for us to provide to the potential business to look into to help them kind of coordinate their funds to make a project work. And those are the State Loan Guarantee Program, the California CalCAP Program, the Collateral Support Program, the California Pollution Control Financing Authority, and the California Infrastructure and Economic Development Bank. And if you're interested in those more, I can provide more background information at a later date. And then they also said to collaborate with your local economic development corporations, your small business development centers, and your chamber of commerces, as well as SCORE, which is a retired executive volunteer program. When she surveyed the RMDZ manufacturers, they basically said that the loan was just one tool that made their business successful. they felt that the loan allowed them, one of the benefits of the loan is it allows a longer repayment period for infrastructure, which a lot of times helps businesses cash flow. And then they also felt that working with the ZAs and networking was a huge resource for them to help with technical assistance and referrals. And then she surveyed the trade associations, and she surveyed two in specific. One was the local Farm Bureau, and the other was I'll have to provide you it at a later date. She surveyed two trade associations, and they felt that the future of California was in manufacturing, was manufacturing that doesn't take a lot of personnel. Products in the food, beverage, and wine industry are expanding in California. So any byproducts of the food, wine, and beverage industry would also work for the recycling market development zone. They found that labor and regulatory compliance, which we all know of, are the two biggest challenges for a business to locate in California and Tehama County, of course. In any way we can help ease that burden for them and make the permit process smoother and walk them through that whole process, kind of, you know, holding their hand makes it a lot easier for the businesses. It was Manix. And the two great things that was discovered is Manix is willing to partner with Innovate North State to promote Tehama County. And then the Tehama County Farm Bureau would like to collaborate on a workshop promoting tire recycling, plastic recycling, mostly ag plastic recycling, because that's one of the commodities that we bring into Tehama County that ends up being a huge waste stream. So all those drip lines all throughout the county, that's all brought in from elsewhere. And then we then dispose of it, and instead of, we could recycle that into new drip line, actually, and have more of a complete circle. And then they would also like to work in promoting composting and a composting operation in Tehama County. The financial institutions, basically, they didn't know much about the Tehama County Recycling Market Development Zone or anything at all, so they wanted information, and then they had a few tidbits of information they provided about their own programs that they have. Sierra Pacific Industries actually is a potential RMDZ business, and they have a small waste stream that they would like to tackle and create a product out of that waste stream. And Maureen had recommended a tour of the facility to see what has been done and find out what technical assistance they need. And then Omega Waste is also a potential RMDZ business that would be they're interested in recycling the ag plastic material, and they also need equipment that would be within the guidelines of the RMDZ program. And then the Art Association wants to collaborate on a student art project, Treasure from Trash, or even adult projects of that nature. And she suggests that we send out our material, our new flyers and brochures, to the banks and the financial assistants, and really put the word out at the local chamber of commerces and the planning departments in case somebody comes up, and then follow up with all of the contacts and the leads that she found immediately. And then interestingly, she said to create your RMDZ team, so basically your go-to network when you have a potential business come to you. And we recently, not as a result of the survey, but we have an interested RMDZ business, and I can't say much about it, but as a result of learning what works, I quickly gathered Manix and Kathy Sarmiento from the Job Training Center and myself for a conference call with this potential business so that all of the incentives could be posed to that business at one time. And it looks like that business is extremely interested in siting in Tehama County. And so when I have a little bit more information, I'll provide more information. But it is as a result of our strong efforts in recycling mattresses and box springs in Tehama County. And then they said to identify all manufacturers and potential businesses and organizations in Tehama County, which we've already done, and to close the loop, which means identify waste products in the community and work to create products out of those waste products to close the loop. So similar to the ag drip lines, you know, that's a waste product, so we're producing. If we could then create another product out of that waste, then we'd be closing the loop. And then so we'll be completing the results of the report and finalizing the strengths, weaknesses, and opportunities and threats analysis and update the marketing plan for this next fiscal year to determine what we're going to complete. Interestingly, the funds that are given to us to outreach the program haven't been allocated yet this year statewide. So we won't be planning anything that costs any money anytime soon.
So is that on a fiscal year?
It's on a fiscal year basis, and sometimes they actually allow us to encumber funds over different fiscal years so that we can have a larger pot of money. It's not such a big deal for us, but we get the same amount of money as, Santa Clara County. So for them, it's much more important for them to encumber funds than it is for us, because, you know, $7,000 means a lot more to us than it does to Santa Clara County.
Thank you. Lastly, outreach update. Informational, no action necessary.
Yes. So I'm going to provide the outreach update on behalf of Rachel. Rachel's been very busy with the Tehama County Smart Business Alliance, and that's basically our approach to the mandatory commercial recycling law, which requires businesses that produce 4 or more cubic yards of waste per week to recycle. The state wanted us to pass a mandatory ordinance, and I said, let's try a voluntary approach. Part of the reason, because I knew it wouldn't pass at the time, it was when the economy was at its lowest point, and I knew that that wouldn't be favored very kindly by the local city councils in the county. So we're working diligently to make the Smart Business Alliance program a success. So she has been able to get 15 members, 6 of which have joined since April of 2014, so that's pretty significant. And then she's working with 6 additional businesses that are interested in joining, one of which is the Comfort Inn, who will be the 16th member, and we'll be providing recycling containers for all of the guest rooms, little small ones for the guest rooms. She is putting together a waste reduction, recycling, and hazardous waste disposal newsletter for the Lake California newsletter each month, Rancho Tehama. And she's also distributing the Tehama County 4Rs e-news blast. And she's attached that in your agenda packet on page 35 and 36. We applied for the 5th cycle used oil payment program funds on behalf of all the cities in the county. Annually, the JP1 receives about $27,000 to implement proper used oil and filter collection and disposal. We're actually completing our annual report for that program as well right now. It's due August 15th. And then we partnered with Butte County to promote the proper disposal of used oil and filters in a Spanish language newspaper called Hispana Americana News. And she provided the ad in your agenda packet as well. We donated a CRV collection bin to Lake California to encourage residents to further recycle at community facilities. And then we put together the public information flyer that is sent out to all green waste recipients. So everybody that lives in the city of Tehama, the city of Red Bluff, and the unincorporated county that subscribed to garbage service, which is all of the residents of Red Bluff actually, receive this flyer. And so how the arrangement works is the agency designs the flyer, and then Waste Connections pays for its publishing and its printing. And that is in your agenda packet on page 39. And it's in full color. And I apologize, I didn't bring the color printouts of it. It looks much more attractive in color. And then we worked with Deep Sky Marketing to develop marketing material for the RMDZ program. A total of 5 print ads of different sizes and a brochure were designed. Additionally, as I previously reported, we contracted with Maureen Hart to develop the surveys and compile a report. And then we also were able to purchase a tablecloth as well as a backdrop to promote the RMDZ programs at different Chamber of Commerce events using the RMDZ funds. And that's, I believe, at least a copy of the backdrops are in your agenda packet. Yes, beginning on page, they don't have 42, which doesn't have the page number, but looks like this. And then we submitted a press release describing the Tehama County Battery Recycling Program, and that was published in the Red Bluff Daily News and the Corning Observer. And then CalRecycle promoted that article on its Facebook page, and Action News now expressed interest in doing a story on the program. And then as part of the HD20 grant, we've been really busy, but I pretty much touched upon most of the work. We're just finalizing the 4 kids exhibits and working on the surveys so that we can give them out as soon as school starts back up. And then staff have been attending the local farmers markets. We're trying to get hooked up with the city of Corning, and we're having a hard time. But we'll continue to try. We've called Valan and haven't had much success yet, but hopefully we'll get something in line. But we attend 1 or 2 Wednesday and Saturday farmers markets in Red Bluff each month. And then we'd also include the city of Corning as well. And then I already announced our pharmaceutical drug collection event this weekend. You may see signs around the Los Molinos area. I think if we did them again, we'd make the signs much larger, because unless you're at a stop, they're kind of hard to see when people are flying by at 45 miles an hour on 99. It's just, they're not going to catch it.
Nobody flies at 45 miles an
hour. Well, I'm hoping. Well, the signs aren't, for the most part, in Los Molinos, but people still go through Los Molinos pretty quickly.
Three signs to read the whole thing.
Yeah.
But they're placed well where traffic is slowing down or getting to a stop where you can see it.
Mm-hmm. So hopefully we get good attendance.
But colorful and eye-catching.
Yeah, and the slogan's good. It says, "Got drugs," which, you know, maybe attracts...
Sure.
But it gets people to read what the rest of the sign.
Good.
And then Rachel gave some very heavily attended presentations to the Tehama County Library children on July 7th, 8th, and 9th, right before they lost their air conditioning at the Red Bluff Library. But she actually went to, I believe she went to, I know she went to Los Molinos, but I believe she also went to the Corning Library, and she did the Red Bluff Library and gave a presentation at each. And their summer reading program has great attendance. And if I can say, Sally at the library is doing a great job. She's getting upwards of 30 kids at each of those summer reading program days. And so lastly, our next hazardous waste collection event will be July 19th at Corning Disposal, so this Saturday as well, and July 26th at the landfill. And just as a reminder, e-waste is now collected at the landfill every day, free of charge, as well as metal. And so make sure that if you have any e-waste or metal, you don't have to wait till the free Saturday events. If you're in Corning, you might want to wait to the free Saturday event because it's a long drive for you. But if you're in Red Bluff, you can just drop it off at the landfill every day. Otherwise, the next e-waste event, the last Saturday of the month events, are... She doesn't have it on here. It's the last Saturday of July. Is that July 26th? I bet it is.
26th. Yes.
Yeah, so the next e-waste event in Corning is July 26th, and there's still the events at Social Services on Main Street in Red Bluff as well, the last Saturday of every month. And we're also applying for another beverage container grant, as well as completing our annual reporting for our diversion program. So we're pretty busy at the office right now.
Is there anything else to come for the board? If not, then I will